Well, good morning, East Cobb Church, and happy Mother's Day to all our amazing moms out there. We are so thankful for you. We're so grateful that you chose to spend this morning with us. And like Jamie said, my name is Dane, if we haven't met before. I get the privilege of working in our student ministries, and I have the privilege of getting to spend this morning with you all for part two of our series, Stories. So, in these 3 weeks, we're looking at some of the greatest stories told about some of the most influential people in all of history. Stories that were so important that they were preserved, collected into what we now call the Bible. Stories that some of us have heard time and time again. Stories that some of us may have never heard before. But however these stories intersect with you, they are stories that are important to history and stories that are important to you and I. Subtitle of the series is Looking Back in Order to Go Forward. That's exactly what this is all about. These stories were written about others, but recorded for us, for here and today in our lives. And so last week, Jamie got us started with the story of Jacob and Esau, but today I want to start off with a little story of my own. So if you're here and you've ever been a college guy, you have had some dumb ideas. I know this. But even some of these ideas, you were dumb enough to actually act on as well. I know this because years ago I was one, and this story starts off with one of those. It starts off with me looking over at my best friend and saying, dude, what if we went to Colorado next week? And we did. We got one of our other buddies, and despite common sense, bank accounts, things like that, we flew out to Colorado, and we had an awesome time at first, and we went fishing, we went camping, and then we decided on a whim, hey, what if we climbed a 14,000-foot mountain? So we decided to do that, which is like doable, I guess, but not super wise if you're used to, you know, the altitude of Atlanta, things we don't think about. But we camp at 12,000 feet, wake up early the next morning, pack up our tent. We start hiking in the dark, the three of us. Challenging hike, we're struggling, we're hiking for hours, and then we eventually get there. We're on the mountaintop, we made it. Beautiful view, that mountaintop moment, right? Somehow we still weren't satisfied. We look over to our left, and we see a class 3 rock scramble known as the Sawtooth Ridge. And all you need to know about that is that it was like way too difficult for any of us to do. But we see this, and we have the thought, another classic college guy move. We could totally do that, right? Yeah, we could do that. And so the three of us decide to do it. We took a wrong turn. And life's filled with wrong turns, right? The other day, I took a wrong turn. I was getting ready, and I was walking around my bedroom in the dark, and I took a wrong turn and stepped on my dog. I was wearing a boot. I felt all the air come out of her. She went... I deflated her. And she's fine, by the way. That wrong turn cost my dog some air, but other wrong turns like this one costs us potentially our lives. This is one of those wrong turns, a major wrong turn. Because there's this thing called elevation sickness, and it turns out we could not do it, dude, because of elevation sickness. We didn't know this at the time, but we started to get really short of breath, and 8 hours later, we are still on that ridge, and we are like dry heaving. We can't stand up straight. We can barely walk. And then we come to the final leg of the hike. And at this point, it's a very dangerous time to be up that high. And it's a vertical climb to finish the hike. And there's a thousands of foot drop to our left. We are stuck here, and we don't know how to get up it. We don't have the gear. We don't have the knowledge. And so we're sitting here, and then the sky starts to turn black. We don't know how to get up, don't know how to get out. Then the wind kicks up. Then the hail starts falling, and we know we are in a bad spot. My best friend yells, "We need to turn back." Turn back. We are 8 hours from being back at 14,000 feet and being human lightning rods. Dude, there is no way to turn back. The window for turning back has closed hours ago. There's no turning back. We're stuck. We were too far gone. We're too far gone. Life's filled with major and minor too far gone moments, by the way. The other day, I was already having a bad day, and I went out to lunch, and then the waiter dumped the entire plate of food into my lap. I'm like, check, please. On this day's too far gone. That's a minor too far gone moment. This is a major too far gone moment. And even if you've never been in one of those before, like a life or death type situation, this is a feeling that's familiar to all of us. Too far gone. You ever felt that? Too far gone. as in, this is too far gone, it's too far gone, I feel too far gone, and maybe it's not like your whole life, but maybe it's just a piece of your life feels like, I don't know, this might be broken beyond repair. I don't know if there's anything I can do about this. And maybe it's that struggle, that's a cycle now, seems too far gone, or that habit that's taken root seems too far gone, or that addiction that's come to the surface and stayed. And maybe it's that relationship that feels too far gone, and you were kind of part of getting it there, or that family situation that feels too far gone, like, I don't know if I can fix this. It might be broken beyond repair, or maybe it's something that's not your fault. Maybe we were handed too far gone. Maybe it's something that someone else kind of broke in us, and now we're stuck with the too far gone, like the sadness as a result of what someone did, or the insecurity as a result of what someone did, or the anxiety as a result of what someone did. And now we feel like maybe that part of us can't ever be fixed again. Or maybe it is like a holistic thing. Maybe for someone in the room, it's like the feeling of, hey, I'm just repeating the same cycles over and over. I feel like this spiral only goes down. I don't know if I can change. I am too far gone. Maybe for some of us, like the reason, you know, some of us might not be Christians in the room. Maybe you wouldn't say you're a Jesus follower. And maybe the reason for that is you feel like you might be too far gone for God. Like maybe that's why you don't go to church. Maybe that's why you aren't really into the faith thing. You feel like maybe I'm just like too far gone for that God thing. No matter how you and your story intersect with this idea of too far gone, we all feel it. It impacts all of us. There's at least a piece of all our lives that feels too far gone. And the result is that we feel like maybe this is just who I am. Maybe this is just part of my identity. Maybe that's just it. And that feeling right there is why I'm so excited to share our story for the day. It starts at a too far gone moment in the Old Testament. And it's about a king in the line of David. Now, David was a king of ancient Israel who God made really big promises to. He said, hey, if you're faithful to me, if you and the kings after you and the nation continues to be faithful to me, I will bless you to the point where you will always rule. Your line of kings will always rule. But if you don't, if you drift from me, I will discipline you. And God, you know, in history, when we read in the Bible, we see the nation of Israel not keeping up their side of the deal, even though God did. David kind of ushered in this golden era for Israel, and Solomon started off strong. But then by the end of Solomon's reign, they end up drifting toward other gods and idols. And it's kind of like a slow descent from there. Jesus comes along. The final king in the line of David redeems the whole story, by the way. But until Jesus, there's a story of descent away from God and toward evil. And so in the middle of all this story, after Solomon had kind of started this drift, it just keeps going. And we see for hundreds of years, the kings drift farther and farther. They keep doing the same things, breaking the same laws, going away from God, not being faithful to him. And the northern kingdom of Israel, they had fractured at this point. They had separated into the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. The northern kingdom of Israel gets taken over by the Assyrians. They're wiped out. And only the southern kingdom of Judah remains at this point. And then they hit their all-time low under the reign of King Manasseh. So King Manasseh, he comes along and he starts allowing idols in the temple of God, images of other gods in the actual temple of God. He allows innocent people be killed and murdered. He allows child sacrifice. I mean, absolute evil is what this guy is guilty of. And then his son, Amon, comes along after him, does all the same things, but it only lasts 2 years because he's assassinated by his own officials. That right there is the low point in all of Israel's history up till that moment. The northern kingdom's gone, it's just Judah left, and now they've drifted, descended into the state of evil and unfaithfulness, no faith to be told of, and into this too far gone situation comes our hero of the story. Left to pick up the pieces. King Josiah. A symbol of hope, a symbol of restoration and redemption. King Josiah becomes king of this absolute dumpster fire at 8 years old. Good luck, second grade king. And he's left to pick up the pieces. He inherited too far gone. A kingdom that was too far gone, a line of kings that was too far gone, a family that was too far gone, a nation whose faith was too far gone. He inherited that. And in spite of all that, the impossible hand he was dealt. Spoilers ahead. Look at how his life is summarized in 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 25. Neither before nor after Josiah was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did. Wow. With all his heart, with all his soul, with all his strength, in accordance with all the law of Moses. There was no other king like him. No one else did what he could do. Not even David, who gets a lot more press, by the way. He was a man after God's own heart, but he had multiple moral failures that jeopardized the whole nation. Solomon, so wise, but he ends up drifting by the end of his reign toward idols and other gods. Josiah never did. He did what no other king could do. There was no other king like him. Which leaves us with the question, how did he do it? How did he do what no other king could do? Well, it starts with this word right here. Turned. Turn to the Lord. Earlier we talked about my wrong turn that ended up in too far gone. Well, Josiah showed us possible to take a right turn that leads away from too far gone. In fact, he shows us that turning too far gone into a turning point is possible. That the nation of Israel had for hundreds of years done the same patterns hundreds of times, broken promises, turned away from God, idols, the same cycles over and over and over. We repeat the same cycles over and over and over, the same brokenness, the same patterns hundreds of times. We do the same thing, but Josiah shows us that turning too far gone into a turning point is possible. This is a story that was written about Josiah but recorded for us. This is a story about who God is and how he sees us when we're too far gone. This is a story where God could be inviting you to turn your too far gone into a turning point for that broken piece of your life or your whole life or the life of someone else who you love. Which just leaves us with the question, how did he do it? Today we're going to look at the life and reign of King Josiah and see how he turned too far gone into a turning point. So it all starts, the beginning of Josiah's reign and his story, we can pick up in 2 Chronicles chapter 34. Right at the top, Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and followed the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. Again, he got the gig in second grade. Let's not just keep breezing past that. Jeez. But here's kind of like the first puzzle piece to what turning to God looks like. It wasn't a one-time turn. He never turned aside. It's amazing. It's impressive. What does that look like? Well, that's what the rest of the story is about. The very next verse, 8 years in, so he's 16 at this point. In the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father, David. We learn that at 16 years old, he began seeking God. Seeking is part of turning. Seeking is part of what turning looked like for Josiah, and it's part of what turning can look like for us too. Seeking is looking for God's will for our life, and that's exactly what he starts to do. And this, by the way, is exactly why I'm so passionate about high school ministry. At 16, sophomore in high school, this dude Josiah makes a decision that defines the rest of his life. He decides to seek God and follow him. It's amazing. He takes his faith really, really seriously as a teenage king. Starts making major religious reforms in this period of his life where he's seeking God. He starts getting the idols out of the country. He starts getting the idol priests out of the nation. He's reforming their religion, trying to get it back to where it was. And in the act of this, we see 10 years later, at age 26, he gets even more serious. He's like, we need to restore the temple. Now, this is huge. The temple of God was culturally the center of the Jewish people, but it was also religiously the center of the Jewish people, and it was the actual presence of God among them. They believed that God dwelt in the temple, and so this was Josiah not just saying like, hey, I'm turning to God, but we're turning to God. Like, we're back as a nation. I want to turn the heart of the nation toward God. So while he's restoring and rebuilding the temple, something crazy happens, unexpected. Every great story has a really good twist. This is the twist in the story. While they're restoring the temple of God, they discover the lost book of the law. That was their scriptures. This was their equivalent of the Bible, and it had been lost. They didn't know what it said. And it's a direct result, this is huge, of Josiah's decision to turn to God. He turned to God, and it led to this unexpected blessing that he never saw coming. And this is exactly what happens to us too. When we turn to God, there are blessings built into that path. There are blessings built into our turning points. And this is not prosperity gospel. This is not works-based faith where, you know, it's the idea that the better we perform, the more we're blessed. No, it's not that. It's that when we follow God's will for our life, there are blessings built into that path. He has them waiting. And by the way, that's why he wants us to follow him. He's like, I want a relationship with you, and I have blessings for you, a better life for you, life to the full for you. All you have to do is follow the path. But if you turn the other way, or if you don't turn toward me, you're going to miss out, which is exactly what would have been true for Josiah. If he would have said, hey, we're too far gone, too late to change, he wouldn't have just been a bad king. He would have missed out, which is what's true for us. When we think we're too far gone to turn, we miss out. God has built-in blessings when we turn to him. Some of you have experienced this crazy thing God does, these curveballs he throws at us. And for me, one of them was late in college, I was, you know, debating a major career change. And during this kind of debate, I'm going back and forth of, you know, do I do it? Do I not? And I eventually just felt peace of like, this is what God wants me to do. So I changed careers. And on the first day of that job, I met my wife. It's like, what? Came here for job, left with wife. Like, I never saw that coming. And God's like, that's exactly why I wanted you to be there. In fact, that was the main thing for you there. I had that waiting. But if you wouldn't have turned this way, you wouldn't have experienced that blessing. There are always blessings, a better life, when we follow God's will for our life. Some of you have seen that happen too. There are blessings built into our turning points. And it was true for Josiah. So he gets out this book of the law, going back to the story. And he reads it. He's like, oh no. It was worse than he thought. He is very disturbed at what he reads. It had been lost. He didn't know what it said. And when he read it, he realizes we are breaking all the laws. Like, this is, we had drifted. I knew that, but we have drifted way farther than I thought. Rock bottom. And this is a feeling we can relate to, right? Like rock bottom faced with a decision. What does he do? In this now or never moment, Josiah decides to turn to God. Yet again, he decides to obey. Obeying is part of turning. And for you and I, maybe our turning point could look like obeying. Obeying is making the difficult decisions required of us when we follow God. And he has to make some difficult decisions. And that's what we see him do next. He decides to take action in this defining moment of his life and reign. Here's where we pick up. He sends a priest to go consult a prophet, which is just someone who spoke for God. And he tells this priest, like, go find out what God has to say about what I just read, because it ain't good, and I need to find out what God thinks about this. So we pick up here at 2 Kings 22:13. Go and inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah about what is written in this book that has been found. Great is the Lord's anger that burns against us because those who have gone before us have not obeyed the words of this book. They have not acted in accordance with all that is written here concerning us. So after sending the priest, here's the message that Huldah, a prophet, a female prophet, by the way, sent back saying, here's what God says. Because your heart was responsive and you humbled yourself before God when you heard what he spoke against this place and its people, and because you humbled yourself before me and tore your robes and wept in my presence, he tears his robes and weeps because of what he read. I have heard you, declares the Lord. A responsive heart, a humble posture. It's more of what it looks like to obey, right? And because of this moment of obedience, because of this test of character of Josiah, God makes him a promise. He says, unlike the kings before you who were buried in shame with a broken legacy, you will die one day in honor with an intact legacy. This was a defining moment of Josiah's life that kind of led to that summary that we saw about how he turned to God. But but it keeps going. After this moment of amazing obedience, the final chapter of his life, we can kind of summarize as battling. Battling is part of turning. Battling is part of what turning can look like for you and I too. Battling is fighting against any competition against God for our heart. Fighting the good fight for our heart against temptation, competition that comes for our heart against God. And that's what we see Josiah doing for the rest of his life. He renews the covenant. That covenant that Moses had inaugurated with God all those years ago. He does like a vow renewal. He says, God, we're back. We're committed to you again. He reinstalls the Passover, the most important religious holiday of the Jewish people. He's turning them back to God. He keeps the idols out. He keeps the idol priests out. He keeps the nation clean and faithful. And that's just kind of it. No other drama. He lives a faithful life of peace, years of peace unmentioned for the rest of his reign. He eventually dies, kind of because of this tactical mistake he makes while at war. It feels random when you're reading it, but it's most likely just a fulfillment of that promise to let him be buried in honor with an intact legacy. Because as soon as he passes away, the next kings after him start the spiral again. They turned aside. But as we look at the life and reign of King Josiah, there's this window where they had gone from too far gone to faithful to God consistently for his entire reign. It's an amazing window of faithfulness in his life. So now having walked through his life, let's go back to that summary of his life that we read at the very beginning. Neither before nor after Josiah was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did. It all started with a turn. So what does it mean to turn? Literally, in the original Hebrew that this was written in, turn, like so many Hebrew words, is loaded with context. It implies to turn back, to return, to restore. He took a restorative turn. He restored their relationship with God. But more than just turning in and of itself, it's the way with which he turned that makes all the difference. I mean, look, it says he turned with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his strength, in accordance with all the law of Moses. It took all his heart and all his soul and all his strength. This was a full send. He turned with so much momentum. He turned with so much commitment that it set him up for a lifetime of never turning aside. He turned with everything he had, all of him. And that, as we look back at his life, that's what we see, right? We see a lifetime of seeking, obeying, and battling. Turning. This is what it looks like to turn and never turn aside. Seeking. He was seeking God's will for his life throughout his reign. Obeying. He was obeying God even when it required difficult decisions of him. He was battling. He was fighting for his heart and the heart of his nation, his entire reign, against any competition. This is what turning and never turning aside looked like for him, and it's what it can look like for us too. See, throughout the Old Testament, the nation of Israel, the nation of Judah in this case, serves as a beautiful illustration for our relationship with God. The word Israel means struggles with God. And that's what defined their relationship with God, and often that's what defines our relationship with God too, right? A struggle. But Josiah shows us this restorative turn we can make back to God. And that's why this story is speaking to us today. This is why this story was written about him, but recorded for us. It has something to say to us too, and it's that if Josiah can turn that train wreck of hundreds of years of evil and disobedience, if he can turn from that too far gone, then we can turn from our too far gone. Even if it's that habit, that struggle, that addiction, that relationship that seems too far gone, that family situation that feels too far gone, that broken piece of us that someone else broke that feels too far gone, no matter what it is, if Josiah can turn, so can we. This story reveals something about who God is. He's not a God who believes in too far gone. If Josiah, after hundreds of years, can turn that nation from too far gone, God can accept our turn from too far gone as well. And he's always been that way. He's not the God of too far gone. This is the God of second chances we're talking about. This is the God of hope and redemption we're talking about. This is the God of restoration we're talking about. This is the God who looked at the criminal on the cross next to Jesus, who with his final breaths of his life asked for forgiveness, the God who forgave him. This God doesn't believe in too far gone. In fact, Josiah's story shows us you're never too far to turn to God. You're never too far. God doesn't believe in too far gone. In fact, the idea that we're far from him in the first place isn't even true. When we turn to him, he's right behind us. We saw this with Josiah. After hundreds of years, Josiah turned. He's like, all right, you ready to do it today? Let's do it right here, right now. I've just been waiting for you to turn. That's the case for us too. And he doesn't just save us from too far gone. This is how good he is. He doesn't just save us from a bad situation. When we turn to him, there are blessings built into that turning point. There is a better life built in that turning point. He doesn't just save us from disaster. He points us to a better life. Maybe there are blessings built into your turning point. What could God have waiting for you if you turn that part of your life, if I turn that part of my life to him? We can't even imagine. We can't even imagine what God could be cooking up if we turn to him. It reminds me of something that Paul wrote to the Ephesians in chapter 3. He wrote, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine is exactly what happens when we turn to God with everything we have. We can't even imagine what he has in store for us. And he, God, is exactly who this story is about, by the way. A God who is able to do immeasurably more. Back to my hiking story. So there we are. We're 8 hours stuck into a situation we have minutes to escape from. And right then, in the nick of time, two expert climbers show up. And like, they're wearing helmets. How could we not trust them? They know what they're talking about. And they get us out. Throughout all the hail and all the storm that was coming, they got us out. See, we thought we were stuck. We thought there was no way. We thought it was too late. We thought we were too far gone, and we were wrong. And I've had so many moments in my life that have felt that way, by the way. This part of my life is broken beyond repair. There's no fixing it. I'm stuck. I can't get out. A moment in my life where I felt like I was at that cliff as a person. Like, I am stuck. There's no way out for me. And so for the first time in my life, just because I had nothing to lose, I turned to God with everything I had, and he saved my life. So many of you in this room, that's your story too. It all started with a turn. And God saved your life. For me, it all started with a turn. For Josiah, it all started with a turn. But this is a lifelong thing, right? It's not a one-time turn. Even if we've already turned to God in our past, there are pieces of our life that we need to keep turning, restoring, redeeming back to God. That's what turning and never turning aside looks like. This story, like any good story in the Bible, is less about its main character, and it's more about God himself. This is the God of second chances. This is the God of hope. This is the God of immeasurably more. This is the God of redemption. This is the God of restoration. This is the God of never too far gone, which leaves us with this question. Which part of your life have you all but given up on getting better? Which part of your life needs restoration? Which part of your life needs hope? Which part of your life needs a second chance, a refresh? Maybe it's the whole life. Maybe you've never done this before. Maybe it's just time to turn your whole life to God for the first time. Whatever it is, whatever that broken part of your life is that feels broken beyond repair, if Josiah can turn, his entire nation, we can turn too. Is it time for a turn? If we're gonna turn, we need to turn like Josiah. Turn with everything you have. Josiah turned with his whole heart, his whole soul, his whole strength, all of him, full send, full commitment. He turned with so much momentum. He turned with so much commitment that it set him up for a lifetime of never turning aside. If we're gonna turn from too far gone, we need to turn like Josiah, with all of us. Not leaving our heart over there, our soul over there, turning with all our heart, soul, and strength toward the better life that God has for us. But we can't stop there. This isn't a one-time turn. Josiah never turned aside, and we can never turn aside. For Josiah, we saw this modeled as a lifetime of seeking, obeying, battling. Maybe it's time for us to seek in that broken part of our life, in that too far gone part of our life. Maybe it's time to ask God, hey, what is your will for this part of my life? Maybe it's time for us to obey with that part of our life, making the difficult decisions required of us because we follow God. God, what would you have me do? Give me the courage to do it. Maybe it's time to start battling, fighting for our heart against any temptation, against any competition, for our faith in God, for our family, for our marriage, fighting with everything we have, like Josiah fought for the soul and the heart of his nation and himself. I think if we're gonna turn like Josiah, we need all three. We need to turn with all our heart, all our soul, all our strength, seeking, obeying, battling. This is how you turn from too far gone. Josiah wasn't perfect, but there was no other king like him. He came as close to maximizing his life as any other king before him had. He had a life he could look back on and be proud of. He had a legacy of faithfulness, and he had unexpected blessing that he never planned, never saw coming. That's what's going to be true for us if we turn to God in this way. If we seek, obey, battle with all our heart, soul, and strength, we're not just going to be saved from too far gone. We're going to step into the immeasurably more that God has for us and always has for us when we turn to him. Turn and never turn aside. This isn't easy. Faith was never meant to be. But we can turn. You're never too far. Turn to God, and he can change everything if we let him. Let me pray for us. God, thank you for your character. Thank you for who you are. That you're the God of never too far gone. Thank you for the second chances and hope you've given me, so many people in this room. I pray for the person who's never turned to you, that you give them the courage to turn to you, maybe for the first time. I pray for the person who's turned to you 100 times, that you give them the courage to turn that last part of their life that they've never turned to you before. Maybe you could do that today. I pray for that person who needs to encourage someone with this, encourage someone who feels too far gone, that they can turn to God. Thank you that you don't only save us, you have immeasurably more for us. You are such a good God. We're so grateful that that's the God we believe in. In Jesus' name, amen.